Hi, welcome to the Natural Alternative Podcast. I'm here with Helen Harrison this afternoon, and I'm Madonna Guy, your host. Welcome. Helen, you've been a marriage counsellor and empowerment coach for some time. Tell me why you're passionate about this field.
That's a really good question. So really lovely to be here, Madonna. Thank you for asking me. So my business is called Power of Change Counselling and Coaching, and the reason I called it that and the reason I became a counsellor was way back many years ago. I was 19 and my brother was 18 and he suicided. And at the time, I had absolutely no idea how to deal with it. I didn't have the emotional capacity. It was a trauma. So I whacked it away. I put it in a box and I locked it inside of me. So then it was into my early 30s where, you know, parts of my life were not going overly well, suffered terribly with anxiety, fear, always in the fight and flight. And so I started working with a counsellor and I actually discovered this excitement in me that actually, man, I might be able to move my shit and then I can actually work with friends and family. However, I quickly realised that working with friends and family, they don't want a bar of it. So, well, what do I do with this? Because as I began to empty and as I began to go inside, I thought, oh. And so I trained as a coach. That's how I initially began. But, of course, you would know that there's past stuff. So then it went into counselling and holistic counselling and hypnotherapy and psychotherapy and always growing.
What a long journey. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So going back to what was your original question?
What gave you the passion for this industry?
Well, due to my brother's suicide, I wanted to understand me, but I didn't want to be a wounded healer. And so in discovering, I actually discovered a calling to help people become empowered. So I wrote a book for Esteem Ahead all around self-worth and self-esteem. We do not suicide when we have a strong self-esteem and understand our self-worth and we're able to be there. It's a love affair with yourself.
Yeah, beautiful. So let's talk about it. It's a it's a touchy topic, yeah. Suicide. Let's chat about suicide for a little while because it's something that a lot of people don't want to go because it's hard. It's challenging. Yes. And we had a few deaths of close family members when I was a kid. I suppose I was about 15 or 16. We had one of my brother's closest friends. He sort of organized a gun. He organized all of his bills. Yep. He went to a secluded place where no one knew about him. And what triggered him into his suicide is that he was actually, believe it or not, in a really great space in his life. He was dating a girl who was of a different religion than he was, and he asked her father if he could marry her. The father said no.
Wow.
So he organised a gun, his bills. He went over to Stradbroke Island. He went up into a beautiful secluded place and he sat there and he let go of all of the bullets in the gun one by one until there was only one left. And then he sat there, he drank a half a dozen stubbies and he ended his life. And, you know, just thinking about it, you would never know what would have happened had he been able to go, it's just no for now, or I'm going to marry her anyway, or I don't need the father's permission.
That's right.
This is my life. This is her life. We love each other. There's so many alternate answers.
If you got a room full of people and let's say 500 people and you ask them to be really honest, how many of them have thought about it? A lot of hands would go up. How many people have actually gone to that step of organising it? The hands would, quite a few, stay up as well. It's a topic that is not talked about enough, and it's a topic that needs to be, because it's normalizing it. Not that it's normal to suicide, but when you suicide, you're at a place where you just feel there is no way out. And I think there's so many moving parts. You don't just wake up one day and go, oh, today's the day. it's been a build up. It's like the parents out there listening, how do you fill your esteem up in your children? Yeah. You know, are you constantly filling it? No. I give an example. Say your daughter's at netball and she comes to you and go, oh, did you love that goal that I just did? Or I just did 5 goals. What do you think, Mum? Well, no, you put it back onto her. And you say, well, what do you think? How do you feel? So that she begins to learn to fill her own esteem up and isn't reliant on anything outside of herself.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. And when we're believing the external negativity about ourselves, and that's what, you know, in the kinesiology that I do, I often say, well, what are you doing for you?
Yes.
And, you know, women our age, they often get tears in their eyes because they've never actually thought about what they're doing for themselves, how they make themselves happy, what they're doing in their world to fill themselves up and to give them joy.
And she is so true. I've just been reading a book, you might have heard of it, Dr. Chevalley, Awakening. No, Dr. Chevalley, Google it anyway. She's a feminist, but she talks about how us women, we self-sacrifice, we put everybody before ourselves. And to even think that we can put our needs before ourselves is like a foreign thing. So I'm all about, and I rattle on about it all the time, like I've got an Empowered Marriage podcast, which started after my marriage ended because I had a lot to say about marriage. I had stayed in a marriage for too long because it was death do us part. I said I do in the eyes of the law and the eyes of my family, my friends and the church. God, I was not going to go against that. So I stayed in it too long and I self-sacrificed and I put everybody else before myself. And that belief that you have to stay married. And so it all comes back to empowerment. Actually, no. If you are not happy, you've actually got to dig deeper, and it is okay to have a look inside and look at yourself. Oh, this is, I could go on and on about this.
Yeah. I remember when I was about 15, I was going through a tough time and my mum actually took me to a meditation day, which was weird at the time. I was 15. I didn't think it was very cool. But a couple of things happened in that day that I still remember now. So one of them was we had to write down a list of things that we believed about ourselves that were negative and another list that we thought were positive.
Yeah.
I remember quickly filling like 50 things that I didn't like about myself and then having a couple of positive things. Yes. And my mum actually looked at the list and she sort of laughed and she said, why would you think that about yourself? And I remember especially that there were a couple of things that she sort of had a little dig at me about, which because I felt like I was, you know, getting into the spirit of it and being vulnerable and it didn't actually work for me, just by the way, in that moment, having mum laughing at me. But, and mum loved me. It was nothing against, you know, in that moment she was doing what she was doing and I was taking it personally. But it was interesting how quickly it filled me with not feeling good enough because my mum had laughed at me when I was doing something that I thought. Yes. But it did. It took me from like, okay, I'm doing the process to, oh, crap, you know, I am worthless. I am useless. I shouldn't have written that down. You know, it doesn't take much when we don't feel good about ourselves.
Yes.
To make us drop down energetically again.
Actually, it's so true. I use the example. So imagine this cup, even though it's filled with water. The base of the cup is our self-worth. And we put in things to fill our esteem up. So the idea is not to get it outside of ourselves, but I am awesome. I am enough. And we fill it. However, if we do not have a strong self-worth, it just falls out.
Yeah.
A real indicator if someone has a healthy, strong self-worth is if you give somebody a compliment, if they don't feel good in themselves, they'll give it back. Oh, yes. Oh no. Whereas if they feel good, it's, oh, okay, and it lands and you feel it. And that's exactly the same with birthdays as well. If you have a healthy self-esteem, you'll celebrate your birthdays. For me, for years and years and years, birthdays, I'd go into this mourning grief for a couple of weeks out from my birthday.
Wow.
Because
and do you know where that came from for you, Helen?
Most definitely. I'm adopted. So I was adopted into a large family. So in my family, there are 10 children and my adopted parents. So my adoptive parents, they had three biological children, and then they adopted seven from all countries around the world. So very multicultural.
Wow.
Yeah, Indian and Samoan and Maori and Tongan. And
quite amazing.
Yes. Oh, it is. It is. Look, it sounds great. However, to even adopt one, you have to come from a place of wholeness and to understand that the trauma that that child will have. There's a book. If you're adopted and you're listening to this, get The Primal Wound. You have to have that book because you'll read it and go, oh, holy cow, that's me. So every birthday, I would have this like anniversary grief. I didn't freaking understand it. All I knew was I dropped into this place that was just filled with so much loss and sadness. To celebrate your freaking birthday was the most oddest thing. Why would I be celebrating that? So going back to what I said originally about why I became a counsellor, this is so much more than just being a counsellor. I said to you earlier, it's like if you're a singer and you've got a song in you, you actually can't not do it. This is exactly the same of the work that I do. I cannot not do it. It is a calling. However, you know, I said to you earlier in December, I had another sibling who suicided.
Mm.
I don't want to go into the details, but to say it's a tragedy of another whole level. You know, my sister, she was 10 years younger than me. However, again, she was adopted just like my brother. And if you do not have that sense of worth, she was also Samoan. And which world do I belong in? Am I in the Caucasian world or am I in the Samoan world?
Yeah. And when I think a lot of people who adopt, they don't think about the ramifications of adopting from another. I had a client recently who was telling me he's like a real life story, like Lion, you know, the movie with Dev, you know, the movie Lion.
Yes, yes, I do.
Yeah. So his was a real life story like that. He was adopted from, I can't remember, somewhere in below Mexico.
Yes.
So geography.
Yeah.
But he was adopted when he was a baby. And turns out he has found out 25 years later that he was stolen from a local hospital when he was like 1 year old or something.
And so the body remembers that, as you know, the body remembers it.
Absolutely.
Oh.
So his parents here in Australia, they think they're doing this fantastic thing adopting, which they are. They're adopting a little baby who needs a life, who needs...
Oh.
But nonetheless, this little baby was torn away from his family by the authorities locally. 25 years later, because of Facebook, he starts putting his story on the local page that has his nationality on there, and people start contacting him. And it blew him away.
Yeah.
And when I saw him recently, he'd only just saw the movie Lion. And I said, oh, man, did you cry your heart out? And he absolutely did. But his white family here in Australia are really struggling with the ramifications of having adopted someone 30 years ago who was stolen. So the terror and the trauma and the PTSD is throughout that whole family now.
Oh, enormous.
And he's found out that he was one of 12 kids.
Yeah.
So he's now connecting with all of them, with all of that emotional.
There is so much processing and so much to work through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people believe they're so strong they don't need to. A lot of people just, you know, whack it under the mat. Oh, it'll, you know, if I don't think about it, it won't hurt me.
Well, what I've discovered, because in December, when I got the news, I just moved house. I'd had a huge year of work. So my tank was a little bit empty. So when I got that news, and you can relate to this, it's like I got smashed into a million pieces. And that sense, that self that I had created, it was like it was just smashed wide friggin' open. Who am I in all of this?
Yeah.
It's like, and I've, through this, it's like, and I can feel my sister. I can feel her with me. It's like I've come back, but I've come back so much more authentically, not who I think I should be in the world. I want to be more authentic. And I think it's so much of me. Like I look back, I can't even look at them. My videos, I stopped all my social media because all my videos were so sort of man-made and so sort of just from the head up, so ego related. Whereas now, from what's happened, like I don't give a shit what anybody thinks about me now.
Yeah.
Solely, it's like been a really big shift and dropping out of the head and into the heart and into the gut. And that's it's huge. So if we come back to suicide, it's for all of us. And it's not for you to have a family member or someone close to you suicide, but for all of us to be able to get that inner knowing. There's a pool of love in me that I haven't ever deeply touched into like I have now. Like it's profound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And do you have a couple of key tips that you have for people to get them to fill their own cup up, to get them to empower themselves?
The number one thing, because I'm a type A, I'm go, go, you know, listen, full on. Stillness, stopping, the most biggest, I've always meditated. I've known it's a practice, but I've tended to do it in the middle of the day. Well, the first thing, it doesn't matter what time I wake up, if it's 4:30, I will get up. This room here is my queendom and I've got all my books and all my beautifulness and it's just solely my room. I've got my meditation chair and my crystals and my candles and I've made it a queendom. So I will come in here first thing in the morning because I've always found it really hard to meditate, this monkey mind and you know, and they say it's practice and I agree, but since my sister has passed, there is something where I love just going in and I land in and I'm there and I feel it and I feel that soul connection like I've never, ever felt before. And yet the thoughts, they're doing their thing, but I'm not attaching to it. So the first thing is somewhere and ideally first thing, I always used to go to the gym. Like I used to go to F45. I used to run. I used to do workouts. I don't do any of that now. I do my meditation. If I need to journal, if I've got something hanging around that I can't shift, I'll journal it and I'll be with it. And then I stretch. Like behind me is that wall. I put my legs up. That is the most best exercise, to have my legs up against the wall. And just because I've always been in trauma and always been in the fight and flight, and it's been less over the years, I now inhibit my body. So I've always had a very tight body because I've had the anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, every day. It's
your like body's been in protection every day of your life.
So now I stretch and I don't go to my yoga classes out there because when I'm out there, I'm always out there. I actually close my eyes, I have my music, and I stretch with what my body is telling me to do. It's so freaking different. It's so different. So if you were to ask, stillness. With stillness comes meditation and stretching. Your way. You actually know what to do.
Yeah.
But we don't trust ourselves enough.
So what do you say to those people who say, I can't stop, my body won't let me, my brain won't let me, because that's often the first thing people say.
So I would ask them, where in their world is their happy place? Is it down at the water? Is it at, you know, in nature? Is it at grandma's house and the favourite chair? You will have a place. Like with men, men often don't even want to go there, but I get them to start describing their happy place to me. For a lot of them, it's out on their own, on their fishing boat. They're not catching anything, but they're fishing because they're at one. They're at peace. It's grace, God, universe. It doesn't really matter what you call it. So if you aren't able to capture it in a room yet, you go somewhere in nature and capture it there first to begin to feel it. It's crucial. Do you agree?
Yeah, and some people might not actually be able to see the nature. Like if you're a runner, for example, you might simply put your headphones in, get on the road, run for an hour, hour and a half, and really you're thinking, you're in your head all the time because of the music or the podcast or the radio or whatever you're listening to, as opposed to actually looking at nature, at the beauty, at the sunrise, at the sunset, at the clouds, at the sky. So we don't even take in those things even when we're taking time out.
Present. That's a huge thing that I've noticed since December is noticing if I'm present, because when I'm not present, I will drop into the past and I'll go into the stories, and then the grief comes in like friggin' waves. What I did, a huge gift I gave myself, is I took myself away for a week. Took myself away into this little cabin with this little stream, and it was beautiful. And they provided meals. So I just set my alarm for 3 times a day and I went and had my meals, but I came back, you know, on a Monday morning, I'd have a bath for an hour and a half. I mean, who friggin' does that? But what I gave myself is there were no lists. There was no to-doing. I just had to begin practicing to be present, because I didn't want to do what I did last time with my brother's suicide, because I didn't know how to freaking deal with it. Whereas this time I did. And I knew that I needed stillness and I had to be with whatever came up. And it's been transformational, because I'm not running from it. I knew that I needed to go away, because I started drinking again. I started doing coffee. I started going on social media, freaking an hour, and I'm not going to get that part of my life back. I was doing these vices because I didn't want to drop into the grief.
Yeah.
So by taking myself away, it was a reset, and I did that. And then when I was there, I wrote myself some not negotiables. That was the meditation and the journaling and the stretching. Not negotiable apart from Sunday morning.
Apart from what?
Sunday morning.
Hey. So gotta have a break.
Yes. And that sets me up for the day. And so if some sadness comes in during the day, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And I can be with it. Because
and can I ask, do you have a spiritual belief?
Oh, enormously so.
So therefore, for you, when someone suicides?
Yeah. For me, it is the most, and I suppose it's a bit conflicting, but I'm just going to answer it. She made that decision.
Yeah.
It's the most assertive decision she has ever made in her life.
Yeah.
She did not want to be here. Yes, initially I was angry, I was confused, all of that, like friggin' egg. However, I'm at that place, it's acceptance, isn't it? Because with acceptance, I don't like it, I don't want it.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
However, like I've got a little, she's Samoan, and so she would always, I was 10 when we adopted her. And she was like my little teddy bear. I just absolutely adored her. And these hibiscuses, she was always wearing red hibiscuses. So I've got a beautiful hibiscus on my front balcony. And I can feel the emotion come up.
Yeah. Oh, hugs, hon. Yeah.
I talk to her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And every day there's a beautiful red hibiscus, you know, and she's with me.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to her and I love her. But talking about suicide, that's coming from her. She wasn't able to stay, and I get that.
Yeah.
However, if anybody is listening to this and they're in that dark place where you feel that there is no way out, it's reach out, ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, there are support lines if you don't want to reach out to a family member. Because the feelings in you will shift. They may shift within an hour, within 2 hours. And how you felt back an hour ago, you're not going to feel in an hour. You're just not. It will move.
Yeah.
You know, the mantra, this too shall pass. You may be feeling like shit, but you're not going to feel like that forever.
Yeah.
And so if you're in that place, reach out. Google. There are places, there are helplines, you know. Suicide lines, there really are, but also a family member, they will drop everything. They just will, a friend, somebody. You know, working as a therapist over the years, I've had people who are in my room in that place. And so it's, I need to hear from you three people that I know that you can call on. And if you don't have three people, there are support lines. And I wish I'd become, perhaps in the show notes, you could put on there Because there's great resources in this country for suicide support and suicide lines.
There is.
Yeah.
And I think because that's what we need in that moment. We need that lifeline, which is so a lifeline.
Yes.
And
it's so true. It's like you're out at sea and the ocean is so friggin' big and those orange buoys, we throw it out, you know. It's in that moment you're feeling that. And then that's where it's about being able to fill your esteem up, and you start with little steps. It's listening to your language. But, I mean, a big thing is your trauma. You got to shovel your shit. You just have to, you know. Kinesiology. I did kinesiology, not with you. I think I've come a few times with you, but I've done kinesiology for years because I love it. Because it's not talking therapy. I actually don't have to talk. My body, I love it.
The body knows, yeah.
Yeah, so that is a really great place to start with really deep trauma, is your body knows your body speaks. Get out of this. Your body will help you and support you, and that's why you go to you, Madonna.
Yeah. And, you know, they did a study on antidepressants about 5, 6, 7 years ago in the States. And they found that on average it takes 6 to 8 minutes for a doctor to prescribe an antidepressant. And I think at the same time a similar study was done here in Australia, and they actually compared women with men, and women were prescribed within 5, 6, 7 minutes. Men had a whole barrage of tests done. So in other words, if women are stressed, it's because we're, you know, fragile females. But if men are stressed, better find out what's going on, metabolically in the body. So,
it's interesting. I've noticed over the years that when people come in and they're ready to change, and that's why I call my business Power of Change, when they're ready to change, I'll ask them about the antidepressants. And it's often they've had a numb period because they've been on antidepressants. All they've done is just sort of buried it down.
Yes.
The trauma, the energy around that trauma is still inside you. You know all about that.
Absolutely. Yes. And do you do timeline therapy or anything like that?
No, I do psychotherapy.
Right.
So psychotherapy is the neuropathway to the disturbance. So whatever, when someone appears in my room and there's some energy there, so, you know, I've got anger, or I've got sadness or resentment or shame or fear. Fear's a big one.
Yeah.
It's just going into, it's so easy. That's why I love it. I've done all that other hypnotherapy and all of that, but I have stayed with psychotherapy because I use me as the guinea pig, because it really took me to another level of healing. But I also, what I love about it, it's equipped me that when I've got stuff going through me, I'm able to check in with myself and actually, how old am I right now? And I can actually name it and I can be there for her.
Yeah.
So the way I work is not to make you reliant on me. My way is to equip you with an incredible tool bag. So it doesn't matter what life throws at you.
Yeah.
You go in your tool bag. And you find what is needed.
You know, I had a client that I was seeing when he was young, like 14, 15, 16 years old. And I gave him a little tool. I said, look, if someone's, he was being bullied at school. He was in a Catholic school being bullied. I said, look, you know, just visualize the person in the palm of your hand. Make them small enough so that they can't hurt you. Wow. And then do something with them. You know, shrinkle them up and put them in a bin. Right. Make them turn into dust and blow them away. Do something with them so that they can no longer damage you and your energy. So it was something. And then this young man ended up in jail for a few years. And he was saying to his wife one day, because she came to see me, he was saying to his wife one day, well, my naturopath told me to do this little process. And he was actually doing it in jail to keep himself more empowered and more present, so that even though he was being abused and beaten up and having shit stolen from him, he was able to stay within his power for the 5.5 years he was in prison. So,
and for you, Madonna, that's why you do what you do, to empower people.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right that that's the number one thing that if people Do you think people know they're suicidal?
That's a really good question. I went to suicide training because as a counsellor, you've got to do 25 hours of training, and I was sort of encouraged to go and do it. So I did a two-day suicide training. Look, I think it's just a downward spiral. It's just this energy of, you know, powerlessness. It's a heavy, dark energy. Everything's negative. Everything's gloomy. Mm. You've got no energy. You're exhausted. Your food tastes bland. The sky is never sunny. You don't put on clothes that make you feel good. Everything is yuck. And it just builds and builds and builds. And it's when is somebody's breaking point?
Yeah.
When is someone in such a bad way? And often it's the most tiniest things that can take them over the edge. I do come back to, though, like I know now I will never, ever, ever suicide. I know that because I've got a self-worth. Have I always had it? No.
Yes.
My self-worth was in the frigging toilet.
What's the closest you've ever got to suicide?
When my marriage ended.
Okay.
When my marriage ended, I had feelings like I've never had before, and it fucking scared me. Would I have acted on it? No. I observed it. I was a bit judgy. I was a bit horrified that I had these feelings like I had. And it was, I come back to when you are going through a really hard time on a pen and paper, when you're feeling logical and you've got it together, you have your go-to list of what you do. You have habits. When my marriage ended, I knew that I had to get up and go for a walk when I woke up. I had to, because if I lay in bed and friggin', you know, went to where I went, because I had, it was 30 years and I had so much grief coming up. And so I'd get up and I remember I'd walk around the suburbs, bawling my friggin' eyes out. And I remember out the back, it went off a dirt path and I found this area where I found my tree and I'd freaking hug it. Like I just instinctively knew that I got the strength, as loopy as it sounds, I would hug this tree. And I could feel the strength of that tree. I remember years ago hearing a psychologist talk and he said, no matter what, how freaking bad you feel, you move your arms and legs in the direction that is of value to you. And I value health, spirituality. And so even though my mind is feeling like absolute torturous, I would get up and I would walk and bawling my eyes out. And I knew it would pass. That was my mantra, actually. This too shall pass. So when the heaves come in, you know, when you're around that ocean and it's rocking around, this too shall pass.
Yeah, beautiful.
And so we are all going to go through crap. I'm going to go through more crap. I get that. But as I go along, I'm getting more equipped. And I look back to what has happened over this last few months. I see us as onions. And right in the middle of the onion is our authentic self, our true self, our calling. Why we're here? There's no mistakes. And so every time a life event occurs, when a tragedy occurs, you peel a layer of your onion off.
Yeah.
Nothing happens in your friggin' comfort zone, does it? It's through these adversities that another layer comes off. So the layer that's come off with me is I want to show up more authentically.
Yeah.
I always thought I could never fucking swear online. Well, I can
exactly.
Because I do it in real life.
Yeah.
But I had this, I've got to be this certain way. Well, no. No.
Yeah. And just sort of thinking about those, you know, the stuff that people get stuck in that allows them to think about suicide, all those negative emotions, the fear and the shame and the blame and the guilt and the resentment and the frustration, all of that negative energy, it's a real dense energy.
Yes.
It weighs us down.
Oh,
so the stuff that helps us to light is thinking about, you know, it's sunshine, it's exercise, it's friendships, it's chatting, you know, it's prayer, it's meditation, it's beliefs,
it's
consciousness.
Love it. You
so
don't
it's
wait
those...
till you feel better because you're not. You actually have to move your body. And often music is a good one. put some music on to get the energy moving.
Yeah, and especially positive energy in music.
Yes.
There's so much hidden subliminal stuff in a lot of the current music at the moment that when you actually watch the film clips, they're horrific. Yes. There's a lot of dark energy in a lot of current music. You wouldn't know it unless you actually watch the video clips.
Yes.
And then you pay attention to the words and you go, crap, are those the words to that song? Yes. It's so light and fluffy. And there's a damn satanic goat and blood all over this film clip. You know, there's horrific stuff out there. Anyway.
And a question to ask yourself, is this energy taking or energy giving?
Yes.
So it's, I got a bit out of balance last year. I was giving too much energy away. Working with couples,
which is no longer your passion, is it? You do it, but it's no longer your passion.
I do it. However, I'm picking and choosing who I want to work with.
Yes.
It's working with people who are coming from a place of growth, not victim.
Yes.
If you come in victim and you want to tell me your story, I am not the right person. Go and find another counsellor who will do that. And they'll do that well. However, that's not me.
Yes.
I had a couple yesterday. I said to them, you're my ideal couple. They have got a pattern going on and they're very self-aware, but they're stuck in it.
Yeah.
But they're coming from a place of growth and they know that they go to an altered state when they get triggered. They go to their child state. They blame, they throw mud, they act out. They're in it. However, they want to explore this and move out of this. And that's so exciting.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So really, we've got to fill up our own cups, feel that empowerment, do whatever we need to do to start.
Yes.
Have the non-negotiables for your day. So whatever those non-negotiables are for you, because everyone's going to have it differently.
Yes, and it can change also, Madonna, over the time. What you want this week could change in a month's time. It's constantly checking in what is right for me at the moment.
Yes.
Because in time I'll get back out and do a bike ride and do some kayaking. But at the moment, my heart and soul, my body is because I'm actually listening, is telling me exactly what I need. So it's just start with 5 minutes of the 4-4-6 breathing to bring you. That'll be my takeaway. Start with that 4-4-6. So you breathe in for 4 in your nose. You hold it for 4 and you breathe out for 6. All through the nose, and that brings you into the present moment because that's all we got. Me, here, now. Full stop. So when your mind's racing, the monkey mind, and it's 10 times, do it 10 times. 4-4-6, bring you into the present moment.
Yeah.
And that will help you get into the body. It's a game changer. It really is. We aren't meant to live from the head up and just to be looking outside of ourselves for people to tell us we are okay. It is not anybody else's responsibility. It is 100%.
Yes. I was chatting to someone yesterday who said the worst thing we were ever told is that there's a tomorrow.
Yes.
Because if we thought today was the last day of our life, then we can choose, well, who am I going to make happy? Who am I going to chat to? Who can I brighten their day with? Who will I spend time with?
Love it. Love it. There is no permanences. There is today. That's right. Me here right now, connected with you. I'm present with you. Not thinking about what's for dinner and I've got to get the washing in. I'm here. And that's how we should do marriages and that's how we should do our relationships with ourselves.
Yeah. And isn't it awful that the people who are closest to us in the world, they're the ones who often cop most of our crap?
Yes.
You know, we don't even think about that in the moment because if you've had a hard day at work and you go home and you're pissed off and that's the energy you're giving to your life partner or your family or friends or your roommates, you know, it's not conducive to happiness or, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing, so the third thing would be to have your list, your lifeline list.
Yes. Yeah. Your
people, your tribe, your people who you can ring in a heartbeat.
Yes, to put yourself first. It is okay. And to do it with gentleness and compassion. And look, I get it because I haven't for a long time. However, there comes a point, I mean, you would know all about adrenal fatigue and burnout. You know, I was getting body symptoms but because my body was screaming at me, but no, I'd push and push and push. Yeah. So because I wasn't listening, my body was letting me know. So my beautiful body lets me know. However, it's taken me a number of years to go, okay, it's, yeah.
Speaking of body, you recently changed your whole diet and found, gee, there might have been a gut-brain connection after all.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. So, like, you know, 15 years of personal development, I left food for friggin' last. Oh, my goodness. With food, yes. So yeah. Working with a dietitian and a nutritionist, metabolic balance, life changer. So simple. For me, I have the way to work it, you have 3 meals a day, seven days. So 21 meals in a week.
Well, that's protein. Your body. It might be different for everyone. So that's the way it worked for you.
Yes, but still your protein, your vegetables, and your salad. And for me, it's simple, but cleaned all the gut out. And so I can listen to my intuition because if the gut isn't right, you would do so much gut work, I'm assuming.
That's
right. But if the gut isn't right, you can't hear your intuition. So you do lift the head up. It's all connected.
It is. It is. And the more junk food we eat, you know, there's these super refined foods that make up 60 to 70% of a lot of people's diets.
Yes.
And what happens is that the body becomes acidic. When we're acidic, we become inflamed. Depression and anxiety and stress and trauma are linked in with an inflamed brain.
Yes.
So if you don't calm your food down, you're not going to get rid of an inflamed brain.
No. It's all linked, isn't it? It's not separate.
It's all linked. Yes. What a concept. We are ourselves, body, mind, and soul.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Any last thoughts you would love to share with people? Just like a final thought that you'd love to share.
My final thought is to be true to yourself.
Oh, nice.
Oh, if you're going through something, listen to your gut, listen to your heart, because you actually know, you know what's best for you. Nobody else does. Yeah, hand on heart, listen to your own intuition.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I've loved chatting with you, Madonna.
Excellent. No, that's been fantastic, Helen. Thank you so much.
Yes.
How can people contact you?
So powerofchange.com.au. Get on that website. It's all on there. Also on there is the podcast, so The Empowered Marriage. If you're in a relationship, in a marriage, or you just want to learn anything new. And actually, I want to interview you, which I'll talk to you about. Okay. Yes. So New angle on that, interviewing people about empowered marriages and empowered individuals. So, yeah, just powerofchange.com.au.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for being a part of the Natural Alternative Podcast today. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Now, did I stop it? Okay. Cool. We did it.
Oh, that was just so good. Well, you were brilliant. Now, I wasn't looking at the camera. I was looking at you. Is that okay?
Oh, I was looking at you too. So.
Oh, good.
I think that's just how podcasts work these days.
And I think that touched on some really good things.
Yeah, nice. No, that was good.
Real.
It was real. Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to put this one, before I get it up on my podcast, I'm going to have it on my YouTube channel.
Yep.
I'll edit the funny little bit at the beginning. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe that happened so many times. Yeah, Helenison.
How long did we go for? Oh, a little while.
40 minutes or something.
Wow, nice. Yeah.
Easy.
Yep.
Easy. Anyway, okay. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And so, you can interview me anytime.
Yes. That'll be fantastic. I've got a couple on the boil and then I'll contact you. So I'm moving it into, it's called The Empowered Marriage, but change starts with you. So it's talking, how long have you been married?
32 years.
Oh, wow, I love it. And I'm assuming you're happy in your marriage?
Now, yes.
Yes.
Oh, no, there's definitely been ups and downs. And funnily enough, the whole COVID thing nearly broke us.
So would you be open to talk about that?
I can talk about anything. Yeah. Good. Absolutely. Good. Because no, I'm an open book. My hubby will never listen to it.
It's the adversities that I want people to hear, that you're going to go through them, but what you've done as an individual and as a couple to get through that.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. No, wow. Happy to.
That is brilliant. And I think long-term relationships, it takes a whole nother level of person to have a happy, healthy one.
Yeah.
You know,
I know you will know this, but one of the things that, funnily enough, my brother Toots, a counsellor, so he was the first person I guinea pigged for my podcast. And didn't tell anyone he was my brother, but, you know. And one of the things he said to me 18 months ago when I was all deep in research with all the freaking COVID stuff and realizing how fucking evil the world is and all this damn stuff, and I was getting really snappy and angry and frustrated, and I couldn't believe that Jay didn't believe anything I was saying. And Toot was saying to me, he said, well, any relationship, you know, because I was sitting there watching TV with Jay, but Googling simultaneously, you know, reading all my crap, you know, and as opposed to Jay, even though watching TV, I still wasn't even sitting there with him.
Yeah.
You know, so there was no connection there for ages. And it was one of the best things Toot said to me. And I went, oh, right, even if I'm watching TV, I need to be there with Jay.
Yeah.
So that quite flipped things on its head. Just
the second
Jay sort of said, like, I can be listening to something that's bloody awful, all this COVID stuff, bloody awful shit I'm listening to, but I make an effort to, the second I'm not listening and Jason walks into the room, I turn off whatever I'm listening to, I give him a smile and I just, you know, this is my life, this is my consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, it is. It's about coming back into the consciousness.
Oh,
and I think I'm getting really good at that.
Yeah.
Rather than staying in that dense energy of the
I'm at my happiest when I'm out of this and I'm in that.
Yeah.
But it's constantly coming back to it. And so it's slowing down.
Yeah.
Easier said than done. I think you've got a similar personality to me. It's
feels, you know, like it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Sort of full on and love life and got lots of things on the go. However, in that we lose us.
Yeah. And funnily enough, I just applied to be in a small play recently as the role of Truvy from I didn't get it. And Jason said to me, well, you're so damn busy at the moment, it's probably a good thing. And I thought, yeah, that's true.
A play to do acting.
Oh, you know, just one of the many things. But I haven't for 2 years because of COVID. I spent like 6 months in 2020 and then they pulled the pin a week out because of, you know, COVID and bullshit. So, anyway, I do love it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Brilliant.
Well, see you next week or if you're at Janine's thing.
Yes, I will be there.
Cool.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, we'll chat then. Thanks, Alan.
See ya.
Bye.